For our scripture reading, we turn to 1 Samuel 23. Start reading at verse 19 and go on into chapter 24. For Samuel 23, starting at verse 19. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakalah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place, where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, "Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamachlekoth. And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemies into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men gat them up unto the hold. So far we read from the holy, inspired word of our God. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, in this history, one of the things that is impressed upon us is that we are safe under the shadow of the Almighty. And here David was pursued by many foes. Everywhere he turned, there were so many that were against him. And yet, the Lord was with David. The Lord preserved him. Even as it got to that point where there was a mountain between him and Saul, and as Saul and his men start to compass them about, the Lord preserves his servant. And we see that again and again. And of course, when we think about how in the sufferings of David, we are to think about the sufferings of Christ, we think of how Christ walked right through the midst of those that hated him. He walked right through the midst of them. And we think of how Christ said, No man takes my life from me. He had power to lay it down and power to take it up again. And we're to think also about how we are safe in Christ. Christ who laid down his life for us. Christ who dwells within us, preserves us. And we sing of our safety. And we know that when the history we're reading is the history of one that was used by God to write so many psalms. And that when we sing those psalms, we sing about the safety that we have, the security that we have, how we're safe under the shadow of the Almighty, even while there are multitudes of foes all around us. And we remember, of course, that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we think of our threefold enemy, many and mighty foes that cease not to assault us, as we say in the Heidelberg Catechism. And yet, we are safe under the shadow of the Almighty God. We also take note of the fact that there is a proper way to fight in this battle. We see that there were that when David here cut off the skirt of Saul's robe, that his heart smote him. Even though there was someone that was saying to him, and not only here, there would be another time that we read of in chapter 26. We read of another time, too, where there would be somebody there saying, "This is the time. This is the Lord has given your enemy into your hand. Kill him. I'll kill him." David wouldn't do it. And when David cut that skirt, it says David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And then he responded and said, "The Lord forbid that I should do this." We take note of that, that being smitten, his heart smote him. And we recognize that there's a proper way in which we are to fight in this life. And we recognize it is the point and plan of God that in this life we will suffer. And it was the will of God that in this life Christ would suffer. Of course, his suffering was unique. He atoned for all of our sins, suffering and dying in our place. Yet it's our calling also to suffer for Christ's sake. Even when there are those that are, and when there are those that are ungodly, that are in positions of authority, and when the ungodly persecute us, we are not to return evil for evil. We're to commit ourselves to God. And that's something that we see that David repeatedly does. He commits himself to God. "The Lord judge between me and thee," verse 12. "The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause," verse 15. We sing that way in the Psalms too. "The Lord judge." And in doing that, we imitate our Lord, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, but commit himself to God who judges righteously. So we, in our persecutions, are taught to trust in our God, to commit ourselves to him, to find our refuge in him, to trust in him, knowing that in him we are perfectly safe. We consider this text under the theme, David refusing to kill Saul. We consider, first of all, escaping from his foe. Secondly, smitten by his heart. And thirdly, committing himself to God. One of the things we see is how David and his host not only had Saul and his army coming against him, but even there were other Israelites that would side with Saul, like the Ziphites. When we started, where we started reading, we read of those that were called the Ziphites. Now, Ziph was in the land of Judah. And the Ziphites, we read, that they said to Saul, they came to Saul, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood?" So they're going to go to Saul and say, "We know where he is. Now, therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. So they thought they could do that. That they could deliver him into the king's hand. Where, of course, the Lord was protecting David. But here we see how the Ziphites were siding with Saul against David. The passage that we did not read at the beginning of this of chapter 23 speaks about Keilah. And it speaks about how David inquired of God. He now had the ephod. That after Saul slaughtered the priests, that one of them escaped, Abiathar escaped, we read. And then when he came, he brought with him the ephod, and David began to inquire of the Lord. And in verse 4 of chapter 23, it says, David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And so they went and they saved Keilah, fighting against the Philistines. And even though they saved Keilah, they were used of God. It was, of course, the Lord that was saved, that was delivering the people, but working through David, that even after that, even after David fought in defense of the people of Keilah, he found out that they were going to deliver him into Saul's hands. Those very people were going to give them, were going to deliver David and his men over to Saul. Everywhere he went, he so frequently was finding that there would be people that were watching his steps, and word would be brought to Saul, so that David was in a difficult situation of wondering, where should he go? Where can he go? Knowing that Saul was coming after him to seek his life, and that many people were watching him and telling Saul where he was going. Such was the situation. Now those foes, one of the things we see about Saul was how Saul, while he was chasing David, how he was deceiving himself. And that's one of the things that certainly sticks out in the passage, in this section, as I mentioned this morning. That one of the things we have in this section, because we have this long account of this pursuit of Dave, of Saul pursuing David, we have many statements about what was going on in Saul's mind. The way he was thinking, the things he would say. Like in chapter 23, verse 7. There it says, And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand. For he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. That he actually says that. God has delivered him into mine hand. Now that's not reality. He is going against what he knows God had said. He knows, as he says later on, he knows David is going to be king. He has already heard Saul speak about how the kingdom was taken from Saul. God said that the kingdom was taken from him and given to somebody else that was better. God was the one that said that. And later on, Saul acknowledges that he knows this. He knows he's going after the one that God has chosen to be king. He knows he's opposing the one God has chosen. And yet he says this. God hath delivered him into mine hand. So he speaks. He speaks lies, and he's even going to try to comfort himself by things that are not true. That the unbeliever constantly lies even to himself and utters things of this sort. When the Ziphites speak to Saul and say, come, we're going to deliver him into the king's hand. Saul says, blessed be ye of Jehovah, for ye have compassion on me. He speaks that way. Where God has said, blessed are those who bless his people, and cursed are those that curse his people. And yet he says, blessed be ye of the Lord, to these Ziphites who are siding with Saul against David. It's important to take note of the different things that Saul says, because it does indicate to us something about the nature, the depraved nature of man. When we said that the heart is deceitful above all things, who can know it? How they try to comfort themselves with their own sinful thoughts, things that really they do know are not true. He continues to pursue. He's thinking, and he's thinking to himself, God has delivered him into mine hand. But God told David where to go. God told David that the people of Keilah were going to deliver him up. And verse 11, it says, will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. And so they left. God was with David, spoke to David, directed David, and David left from Keilah. And then a little bit later, we read in this, where we started reading about how the Ziphites had spoken to Saul and said, come here, here's where he is. And Saul says, watch out where he goes, look where he's at. He says, and inform me. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and so on. And he comes after him. And then they get to this point where there's this mountain between them. Saul's on one side. So here's this mountain, and Saul and his men are on one side, and David and his men are on the other side. That's how close they have gotten. And then we read that Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. And so it's getting so close. And then in God's providence, a messenger comes to Saul. Haste! Come, the Philistines have invaded the land. In God's providence, at that very moment, Saul hears a messenger. The Philistines have come. And now his attention is diverted from pursuing after David. Then now he's got something else he's got to take after. He's got to deal with. And so he goes after the Philistines. And that place, that location, received a special name. Silaham Malakoth, which is a word that means probably like rock of escape. Some have said it may mean rock of divisions. It's a question as to whether it's rock of escape or rock of divisions. Divisions because they were divided there, or rock of escape because the word has the idea of being slippery, slipping away and escaping. In any case, the name had the idea that that was the place where God had brought about this deliverance, and so they named the place that name, that it might be remembered. This is the place. So that later on, when one would come to that place, or when one would talk about that place, that they say, yeah, that was the place where Saul and his men were on one side and David and his men were on the other side, and they were compassing around to take David, And then in the providence of God, Saul heard that news. And he went away. And God delivered his people. Psalm 54, the inscription in Psalm 54 says, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? That's Psalm 54. And we start off that psalm. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength, and so on. And then in verse 4, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. And then the last verse, for he hath delivered me out of all trouble. We sing this psalm, and it's good to remember events such as this, when God delivered David and his men. And we're to think about how there are many foes that come after us, but God is sovereignly in control of all things, including the devil and his demons, all the ungodly. He is sovereignly in control of all. And we know that he makes use of our foes. We learn lessons as we suffer the persecution, even as David and his men learned lessons. We recognize times when we're chastened because of our sins. We recognize how God teaches us not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in the living God, to call out to him, and to believe that we are safe, that we're safe in Jesus Christ. As we pointed out, there's times when David lost sight of that. Even though it would be the case that there would be a deliverance again and again, yet it would still be the case that at times a little bit later, the first verse of chapter 27, David says in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. So there were moments like that he thought, I'm going to perish by the hand of Saul. We also have our lower moments. But we do know that the truth is that we're safe in the hands of our Father. We're in our Father's hands. When Saul, deceiving himself, thinking the Lord has delivered him into my hands, we're in God's hands. Christ said, nobody can snatch my sheep out of my hand. Nobody can. David, of course, was to know that he was going to be king. God had told him that. So it wasn't going to be the case that he was going to be delivered into the hand of Saul. We, of course, can't say that we know that we will live through the end of this day. We don't know that for sure. Nor are we told that it won't happen, that somebody in a hatred for God wouldn't kill us. We know that that could happen. Somebody that, out of a hatred for God and his people, could come through the doors and start shooting. And in this country, we've seen such things like that. We've heard of such things like that happening. Somebody just comes to the end of the building and starts shooting. We know that could happen to us. We know that God does not promise us that that's never going to happen. But we know that we are safe in the arms of our Lord. He is our refuge. He's our fortress. He has redeemed us. We are his. He has put within us that life that we talked about this morning. Jesus said, "He who lives and believes in me shall never die." Shall never die. We know that's true. We have an unending spiritual life. One day, it'll be the case that that'll be true of us also in the body. So though we're persecuted, we know we're safe. We know we're safe. Verse 14 of chapter 23 says that Saul sought David every single day. Every day. But then it comforts, the comforting words afterwards, "But God delivered him not into his hand." So it is with us. Our enemies seek us every day. And yet God is in control. We are safely in the hands of Almighty God. Going into chapter 24, we see how David has an opportunity, so he is told, to take away the king's life. That's going to happen again in chapter 26. In chapter 24 and in chapter 26, we see that. And there's instruction here when David learns and David confesses that he's not going to take the life of the Lord's anointed. On the one hand, David is anointed. Christ is the anointed one. David was a type of Christ. That Christ is anointed means that he's chosen. Anointed means that God chose you. And it means you're anointed by the Spirit. And you represent God as prophet, priest, king. For Christ, he represents God as prophet, priest, and king. In the Old Testament, there were some prophets, there were some priests, there were some kings, some who were priests as well as prophets, some who were kings as well as prophets. But the line of the kings was through Judah, and the line of the priests was through Levi. But when Christ came, he was like, after the order of Melchizedek, king and priest. But Christ is the anointed one. We are Christians. That means we partake of Christ's anointing. David was anointed. But he recognized that God had anointed Saul. Unbeliever though he was, that he was in a position that God had placed him in for a time. We today recognize that there are those that God has given positions of authority, that are rulers in civil government, and we recognize they have authority given to them by God. We recognize in this life, we're not to try to rise up and topple the government. The kingdom we enjoy now is spiritual. There will be a time when we will reign on the earth. But the kingdom that we enjoy now, the blessings of the kingdom, we enjoy the blessings spiritually. We have the victory over sin and Satan. That's what we say in Lord's Day 12, we do as kings. We fight against sin and Satan. Not trying to overthrow governments on this earth as if we're pursuing an earthly kingdom. Rather, in this life, we will suffer. So it was with Christ. Christ pointed that out. When he talked to those two on the road to Emmaus and said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and afterwards entered glory. So God says to us, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. There will be sufferings in this present time. And when we are treated badly, when people say all manner of evil against us falsely, when they persecute us, we are not to return evil for evil. But David was tempted to do that. We read that David is in the wilderness in En-Gedi. And as Saul comes after him, there was a time when Saul went into a cave, and David and his men were in the deep sides of the cave. He remained in the sides of the cave, and Saul comes into that very cave. And then we read that the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said. So they're even using the name of God and saying, this is what God wants you to do, is the implication. Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemies into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. So he hears that. And he arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And then we read that his heart smote him. That's quite something to think of, that language of being hit here. We often think of, with little children, how with a little child, often they get a spanking here. But God, when he chastens us, we feel it here. That our heart smites us. As children of God, we know that feeling. That when we do something, or as we're contemplating going through, and so in our thoughts we're beginning to do what we ought not do, and our heart smites us, that we know that was evil. That same language is used in 1 John 3, where it speaks of our heart condemning us. It speaks of one having their heart condemn us, or whether we have our heart not condemn us. Verse 20 says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. If our heart condemn us not, we have confidence. But if our heart condemn us, and when we think of when would our heart condemn us, and we think of the same idea here, that David's heart smote him. You're guilty. We recognize that we hear in our conscience that if we're going to do something, or if we're contemplating in our thoughts doing what, and God tells us that he forbids the thought of it, not only the outward act, but he forbids the thought. The murderous thoughts that we have. When you and I have murderous thoughts that we want to get back at someone, we feel it here. Our heart smites us. And we should respond as David did, God forbid that I will do this, stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. So is the way we should be toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, that when we, in our thoughts, have murderous thoughts, angry, hateful, vengeful thoughts, when our heart smites us, which it does, that we should say, God forbid that I should think this way. I do not. I will not think this way. I will not stretch forth my hands in my thoughts, let alone maybe I'm not going to do it physically, but in my thoughts and with my words, I'm not going to stretch forth against one of God's people. I'm not going to speak and murder somebody in a position of authority. I'm not going to do it. Though David was tempted, he didn't do it. It's quite striking, after this whole history, we read of the same idea comes up again. That chapter 26, verse 8. That now Saul and his men are lying sleeping. And then in verse 8 in chapter 26 it says, then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? So he had to speak that way again. In another situation like that, where someone would say again, God hath delivered thine enemy, that he would say, no. And if someone was to point out, but look what he's doing. I mean, he's chasing you around everywhere. He's trying to kill you. David would say, it's the Lord's anointed, and I will not stretch forth mine hand against him. I won't. Even when those near me are telling me to, even when they're saying that the circumstances make it appear as if I should do this, I won't. That's the way we should be. We're thankful when God, when we feel that smiting. We're thankful that our Lord chastens us. And when our Lord does that in his love for us, we are to receive that word, submit to that, and respond, glorifying our God and saying, we will not do what our Lord has shown us clearly that we must not do. David commits himself to God. He's not going to, and these are related, he's not going to stretch forth his own hand. He's going to commit himself to God. Those are connected. There we read of that with Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. Says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. But that's what our Lord did. He committed himself to God who judges righteously. David does the same thing. We see that repeatedly, that he calls out to God, who is the just judge. We read that in verse 12. He says, "The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." And then in verse 13, "The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand." He commits himself to God. He calls upon God, the Lord judge. After he makes clear to Saul, he makes clear to Saul that he is not pursuing him. In fact, the Lord, the just judge, what the judge does is we commit ourselves to God who judges righteously. The righteous judge exposes sin. And David is coming out and making known and that, look, he's got this skirt that he cut off. And he says, "Now, I didn't kill you." Isn't that clear proof of the fact that I am not pursuing you to kill you? That when the opportunity was there, I didn't do it. I'm not going to stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. In fact, it was the case that Saul recognized that. And he said, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." And so on. "Thou hast showed me this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away?" And then Saul says, "Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day." And yet after he says that, he still pursues him. Even after all that. God exposed the fact, the just judge exposed the fact that Saul was hating him without a cause. We think of the trial of our Lord, that God, Jesus committed himself to God who judges righteously, and we think of how when Jesus was tried and it was supposed to manifest Jesus' guilt, that instead what it manifested was the guilt of those who were condemning him. They're bringing false witnesses against him, and they're not agreeing. It's manifesting their guilt. Commit ourselves to the just judge who judges righteously, who exposes sin, who manifests wickedness, and who protects his people. We may wonder now, when do we ever say that? The Lord judge between me and thee. The Lord therefore be judge and judge between me and thee. You ever said that? You ever called on God that way? You ever made that statement, "The Lord judge"? We do sing that. "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul," and so on. "Plead my cause, O Lord." We call upon God. We do ask that. That's Psalm 35. There's other places we know in the Psalms that as we sing, we testify we're committing ourselves to God who judges righteously. that our calling is to turn from our own sin. As David recognized when his heart smote him and said, God forbid, that our calling is to turn from our own sin. That as we see our own sin manifested, the just judge shows us our own sin. Even as David's lies also were exposed. When God shows us our own sin, we're to turn from that. And with a good conscience, with sorrow for sin, asking God to forgive us our sins, believing that He will for Christ's sake, we also call upon Him, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. We call upon the judge. We commit ourselves to Him, knowing that He'll always protect us, that we're safe. As was seen repeatedly throughout the history, again and again, that the same thing would happen. That God would preserve His people. So we're to rest knowing that. God delivers us out of all tribulation. That though it is the case that we repeatedly have enemies coming against us, we know that we're safe under the shadow of the Almighty. Even as we sing and as we read in Psalm 54, He hath delivered me out of all trouble. God is mine helper. God is our helper. For as long as we have to continue on in this life, your and my life will be a constant struggle within, with the enemy within, and with those from without. Commit yourselves to God. Don't return evil for evil. Remember, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Commit yourselves to the just judge. Believe that He judges righteously. Believe that you're safe, that you're secure in Jesus Christ. We have everlasting life, which can never be snatched away from us. And our calling is, as His servants, to glorify Him, to glorify our God in the way that we fight. That we fight a spiritual battle. We fight using spiritual weapons, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That we fight by faith, believing in God's Word. May He strengthen us to walk closely with Him and to live to His honor. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are thankful for Thy grace. We are thankful for Thy mercy. We are thankful that again and again Thou dost deliver us. May we learn, O Lord, to fight against our own evil natures and to commit ourselves to Thee. Thou art the just, the righteous judge. We commit ourselves to Thee in this battle. May we grow more to see our own sin, turning away from it, trusting in Thee. We are so thankful that we know we have the deliverance, the complete deliverance, in Christ Jesus our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.